It's been a breezy, warm day across the area, and as we go on into tonight, we're looking for a good chance of showers and thunderstorms developing across the area. A few of those could be locally heavy with gusty winds, even some hail associated with them. Overnight low will be dropping off to around 63. Showers and thunderstorms will be diminishing in the morning hours, then becoming partly sunny in the afternoon. Look for a high in the upper 70s. Winds out of the southeast at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Kind of a big warm-up expected for Saturday. We'll have morning lows around 65, afternoon high in the upper 80s, and then a good chance of scattered thunderstorms late in the afternoon and the evening. Some of those could be severe.
Roman Chevrolet, your Silverado City, appreciates our area educators. Right now, Romans and Independents are offering $500 cash bonus to all educators. Romans deeply appreciates your service to the community. Reap the rewards at Roman Chevrolet, 2313 West Main in Independence.
You are always in a safe, caring, and loving home at Medical Lodge, the mighty 690 KGGF Coffeyville.
If you could use a little help around the house, Windsor Place At-Home Care is the perfect solution for you. Their caregivers are prepared to help you with laundry, meals, housekeeping, shopping, and more. These helpful services are so reasonably priced, you can afford to pay for them yourself. In many cases, long-term care insurance or other sources provide assistance with the cost. Home is where the help is. Call Windsor Place At-Home Care, 800-982-1866.
Good evening and welcome to the Windsor Events Center, where tonight KGGF and the Coffeyville Area Chamber of Commerce are presenting the USD 445 Board of Education Candidates Forum. We also want to thank our broadcast partner tonight, and that is the Windsor at Home Care. And just welcome all the listeners at home listening on the radio or in their cars, as well as those that may be listening on the internet or on the KGGF Facebook page watching the video as well. My name is John Leonard, and we have four of the six candidates with us tonight. I'd like to introduce the president of the Coffeyville Area Chamber of Commerce, Candy Westbrook, to go over tonight's format.
Thank you, John. And again, thank you for helping tonight, and thank you for Windsor Place for hosting us. So I wanted to go over just how tonight is going to work for everybody listening at home and in the audience today. Each candidate will have a 1.5 minute opening statement, which they will share a little bit about why they're running for office, their experience, and some background on each of them. They will then answer multiple questions, each 1.5 minutes long, and these questions were submitted to the chamber ahead of time. They were screened for duplication, legibility, and suitability. And I want to thank everybody here and at home that submitted questions, because we actually had a lot this year, too many that we can ask tonight, but that was great. The forum will be followed up at the very end of the night with a 2-minute closing from each of the candidates, who will then share a little bit about anything that we didn't cover tonight, as well as anything they want to share about their platform. So that's kind of how it will go. This is not a debate, so it's just a question and answer forum for tonight. And I think that was all. Does anybody have any questions on anything? Okay, we're going to get started.
Thank you, Candy. And we'll begin alphabetically, and as we each candidate will answer each question. Then when the second question comes up, we'll go to the next person in the alphabet, and so on. So the first question tonight, the answer will go first to Jason Barnett. And Jason, what strategies do you propose for improving teacher retention and recruitment within the district? Oh, that's right. Before, you're absolutely right. Sorry about that. Jason, we'll have you do your opening statement first.
Thank you, and thanks for giving me time on that question. My name is Jason Barnett. I've lived here in Coffeyville, came back to Coffeyville, lived here for 18 years. Current board member, current president of the board. I'd like to continue my service on the board to continue what we've done so far. I'll go over some of the highlights real quick. We've decreased the mill the last 3 years while we've been on the board. And also, kudos to the high school. Graduation rates have been above state average for the last 2 years. And also the CES reading and math has increased this year by 37% in math and 22% in reading. That's an increase to level 3 and 4, which is the higher two levels you can be. So we'd like to continue. I'd like to continue on with that.
Thank you again. That's Jason Barnett. And I'd like to remind all the candidates as well to hold the mic close so that we pick you up, not only well in here, but on the radio and online as well. The next candidate up would be Matt Jordan. And Matt, the question is, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm not asking the questions yet. But first, your opening statement.
Yes, I am. I'm Matt Jordan. I moved to Coffeyville in 2017 to work at a job at the radio station. And when I took the job, I told myself that I'd give myself 3 to 5 years to figure out what I wanted to do, if this was the right fit for me, if the city was the right fit for me. I grew up an hour south of here in Adair, Oklahoma. And after being here about 5 years, I decided that I enjoy Coffeyville. I like the people of Coffeyville. I call play-by-play for the Golden Tornado football and basketball teams, so I've gotten to really know people at the school, the coaches, and I cover school board meetings, so I've gotten to know the people there too. And so when I decided that I was sticking around Coffeyville, I said, all right, now you got to get involved. My dad served 20 years on the school board back home in Adair, so I've seen what it's like for a school board member. My granddad also served on the school board, and I've got a sister who is a teacher. I've got aunts that have retired as teachers, numerous friends who are teachers. So running for school board just seemed like the easy decision to get involved, so that's why I've opted to do this, and education's important to me, so that's why I'm running for these positions.
Thank you, Matt. Again, that's Matt Jordan, and now we have Marcus Kassler. Marcus, an opening statement, please.
My name's Marcus Kassler. I've lived here about my whole life. Off and on, I moved away a few times, but I've always came back. I love this town, love what it stands for. I was on the city commission for 4 years, 9 months. I got my time extended a little bit due to them changing around some things, so I got 9 bonus months. The reason I'm running, quite frankly, is because I think it's time to change around some people on there. Every year the same people seem to get on there, minus a few shake arounds. Some of those candidates have been, in the past, have been on there for almost 10 plus years. I would like to see some change. This year we have a chance to install a whole new batch of people and some new voices to be on there. I would love to be one. I've made tough decisions. I am a studier of questions asked. I'm a listener, and I think that's important. We listen to what the teachers have to say, the students have to say, and the parents have to say. And we have to work as one. If we don't do that, then it's null and void. Our job is to teach them the best of our abilities and to get them ready for college and whatever they choose to like to go on to.
Thank you, Marcus. Again, that is Marcus Kassler. And again, I'd like to remind the candidates to please hold the microphone close so that we pick you up well on the radio. Next up for an opening statement is Cindy Price. Cindy, if you'd like to say a few words.
Thank you, John and Candy, and thank you to the Chamber for sponsoring the forum. My name is Cindy Price. I'm a lifelong resident of Montgomery County and a product of USD 445 education. 5 generations of my family have been educated and graduated from Coffeyville, beginning with my granny, who graduated in 1922 from Coffeyville High School. So my roots run deep. I've lived in rural Coffeyville for 46 years, and that's where I've raised my family. My working career was spent mostly in the public sector, 13 years at the Chamber, 5 as Director of the Convention and Visitors Bureau, and 8 as President. The next 19 were in city government as city clerk. From the day my children entered school, I was involved actively with PTA, school site council, homeroom mother, whatever was needed, you just name it and I'll sign me up. I'm currently serving on the Coffeyville Public School Foundation and the Superintendent's Council, so I maintain my interest in education. I believe in being involved in the community, and I'm running because I want, it's my time to give back. Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy. Again, Cindy Price. And now I've been anxiously awaiting to get to those questions, so it's time to do that. Now that you've had a chance to ponder the answer to the first question, we'll ask Jason Barnett first. And Jason, again, that question, it's, since you may have forgotten it, it's been so long ago that I asked it. What strategies do you propose for improving teacher retention and recruitment within the district?
That's a good question. Right now, I can't say it at RMS, Roosevelt Middle High School, or Middle School. I think they had 100% retention this year. We have seen a drop in people leaving the district. So obviously, we need to tap into Roosevelt Middle School and find out what his secret is, the principal there. We also need to get with the, I think we need to get a committee, because we are in a teacher shortage in Kansas and all over the state. I'm sure everybody's read and heard and everything else. There's also a program going on right now at what we call a homegrown, which is students coming through to school that want to get an education and support them and go on from there, go from there. So I think what I would propose is, or try to look forward to, see if we can get a committee and find out what each school would like to see to help retain teachers, because each school is different. So I think we have to have three or four committees to go on with that.
Thank you, Jason. Again, that's Jason Barnett. And now the same question to Matt Jordan. And Matt, what strategies do you propose for improving both teacher retention and recruitment within the district?
Well, I agree with Jason in the fact that we need to go talk to Principal Claire at the middle school to see if there's anything specifically that he implemented this last year to get 100% retention in the middle school. And then outside of that, I think USD 445 does a really good job of being competitive in salaries for teachers. You know, I attend those meetings, so I see that the salaries are increasing to stay competitive. And being on the border like we are, Kansas pays more than Oklahoma, so you have the opportunity to keep your Kansas people in Kansas and then maybe recruit some people away from the surrounding Oklahoma towns. As far as keeping them there, you know, the idea of a committee of some type that meets with a group of teachers to see what can the school district do better, how can we reward teachers that have been there 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, because when you don't have to have a new batch of teachers come in that you're trying to, you know, teach what the school district does, then you're in a better, you're set up better to help the kids succeed because you're not constantly rotating teachers. So just trying to find a way to reward those who choose to stay, which is encouraging them to stay, I think can help better keep teachers at all three levels and repeat what the middle school saw this last year.
Thank you, Matt. Again, that's Matt Jordan, and the same question now going to Marcus Kassler. And again, that question, Marcus, is what strategies would you propose for improving teacher retention and recruitment within the district?
I really like the committee idea. I think that's a great idea to get them coming and get them talking. I think it may be hard for them to talk. You know, it's a little hard to talk to your bosses about stuff, so I think we need to find a way to make sure that they feel comfortable in doing that. But I would love to get with the city and find a way to get housing, better housing for teachers and availability to live down here. A lot of teachers do not live down here. They live in Oklahoma, they live in Caney, they live different places, so their tax dollars aren't being spent here as much. I would love to work with the city. There are some good housing projects going on right now. I think some of them may be above a teacher's income. So there's plenty of land around in Coffeyville, and I would like to see that. I would like to, like he said before, I would really love to see our valued ones get bonuses, a new teacher bonus, and of course for those young people who want to be in a teacher from the high school and stuff, I would love for them to get the time, and I know that probably is happening right now, but I think overall, I think it's a great idea just to get everybody more involved.
Thank you, Marcus. Again, that's Marcus Kassler, and now Cindy Price. Cindy, the same question. What strategies would you propose for improving teacher retention and recruitment within the district?
I've actually been impressed with how well they've been able to retain and recruit. And as Jason said, the middle school had 100% that came back. And that's really phenomenal because you read across the state that so many school districts are not able to fill all their positions. I've been attending the school board meeting, so I've heard some of this information that they've talked about at the school board meetings. One program that they've really used a lot with the ELC is the teacher apprentice program, where the students will come out of high school and be able to work at the ELC, and at the same time they're able to get their bachelor degree, and they can do all of that without leaving Coffeyville and still be able to teach. And we're growing our own, and I think that's a wonderful program.
Thank you, Cindy. Again, that's Cindy Price. And with our next question of the night, we'll start with Matt Jordan. And Matt, the question is, a lot of things that the school districts have to balance. What are your thoughts on how to balance lunches and health care for students, athletics, counseling, and inclusivity while still maintaining a strong focus on academics?
That's the tough question. I'm glad I got that one first. But yeah, I mean, that's the balance in anything in life is difficult. I mean, I would love to balance the amount of work I get with the amount of sleep, or the work I do with the amount of sleep I get, but sometimes it doesn't work out that way. So you've got to get things as close to even as possible. And when you look at all the different aspects, lunches right now, if you haven't seen the posts that Dr. Correll does frequently on his Facebook page, the lunches look better than anything I ever had when I was in school. So that's drastically improved. At a school board meeting not that long ago, the nutrition director came in and talked about everything they're doing to improve lunches. And so when you look at the meals of the day, breakfast and lunch, talking about how that balances with academics, well, when you're fed, you're not hungry, you can focus in the classroom. And then the other steps of that, whether it be athletics, which opens up other doors as far as, you know, participation, when you're excited about getting to play in the football game on Friday night and you have to go to school for that, well, you're more encouraged to go to class. And exclusivity, I feel like Coffeyville does a pretty good inclusivity, I guess is the right word. I feel like Coffeyville does a pretty good job of that with the different aspects of what they have that you can participate in, from athletics to band to debate to different sports, to cheer, to dance, and there's a number of things that are able for kids to be involved in.
Thank you, Matt. Again, that's Matt Jordan. The same question now goes to Marcus Kassler, and again, Marcus, the question is, what are your thoughts on how to balance lunches and health care for students along with athletics, counseling, and inclusivity while still maintaining a strong focus on academics?
You know, I think it's getting harder and harder for kids to find a balance. But like you said, food is important, but a lot of times I have older children, and a lot of times they are dead tired in the morning and they do not want to get up. I would be a proponent of finding a way to open up high school just a little bit later to allow them to wake up and get their brains moving in a functional manner. Healthcare, I've heard some complaints about the healthcare in the clinics, but I don't know enough about that. Mental health, I think, is something that needs to be looked at drastically within our youth. Our youth are struggling. They're burnt out on classes sometimes. They are not doing well. Some of the times they had to go through, you know, one year they went on spring break and didn't come back the whole rest of the year. And they're struggling. They had to wear masks, which I don't ever remember having to do. Counseling is needed, and sometimes these students are self-harming, and they need to be alert to that. I know a lot of older folks think that they don't have it so bad, but they do in a way. And I really applaud that, but we got to find a balance and, you know, make it so that they can do everything and still feel welcome and inclusivity. They just want to be heard. Whatever group they're a part of, they want to be heard. So.
Thank you, Marcus. Again, that's Marcus Kastler. And now the same question to Cindy Price. And Cindy, again, that question is, what are your thoughts on how to balance lunches and health care for students, along with athletics, counseling, and inclusivity, while still maintaining a strong focus on academics?
That's a lot to try to balance. The academics always would come first. That's the most important part of why they're at school. But you've got to have the other activities so that they are involved, and I think that's important. The lunches, I've not been to try the lunches out, but I want to go. They're really doing a great job with the nutrition. They received a grant the other day. They're going to start growing some of their own vegetables and serve in the lunchroom. Healthcare, I heard a report from the community health center at one of the school board meetings, and they're serving about 68% of the students. And that's phenomenal, that if they have a need to see the nurse, they won't have to leave the school to get some health care. And I think that's really a great partnership.
Thank you, Cindy. Again, that's Cindy Price. And finally, the question goes to Jason Barnett. And Jason, again, that question is, what are your thoughts on how to balance lunches and health care for students, along with athletics, counseling, inclusivity, while still maintaining a strong focus on academics?
Cindy's correct. Academics is first and foremost. Even in academics, your academics. Even in sports, your academics is, you know, you got to qualify to play the sport. You got to maintain the grades to play. We do have a greenhouse that the elementary school started, and they're using fresh vegetables and everything for the lunches, and Matt's right, they are good. How to balance it all, I think the schools are doing a good job doing that now. I know for the students, balancing is pretty tough because, you know, you got away games and everything else, and I think the school helps them out, and they got makeup work if they have to leave early or anything like that. That's kind of where I'm going with the question. I don't know if it's more of a financial question, how the school balances, or just an open-ended question, but that's kind of how I went with it.
I'm sorry, I did not.
Well, I didn't know if we were talking about a financial side of it, the school, how they balance it, or is it more of just how the school balances
just
everything?
In general.
Yeah, so financially, you know, we have funding for, you know, the students for cafeteria and the lunches and everything. They got early lunch, middle lunch, late lunch, and, you know, we provide funding for all the bus trips. And the Booster Club really does a great job for away games, for lunches and everything else. Everybody continues on with that.
Thank you, Jason. And again, that's Jason Barnett. We now go to our third question. And first up to answer this time will be Marcus Kastler. And Marcus, our next question is, with property taxes already high, do you feel that it's possible to cut taxes and still provide students with a quality education?
You know, being on the city commission for those years, I got a crash course in mill levies and stuff. Those are words I've never really heard of before. I think it's hard. I think the school, looking at the chart of the mill levies of the last year, I looked it up online, and the school district itself has done a pretty good job of not raising it too terribly. I think that's great to continue. I hope all entities have that in mind when they go. I'm not gonna lie, I think we do a good job funding it and making sure there were some necessary adjustments that needed to be made to campus that needed to happen and were made through the funds. So I think we're doing a good overall job of funding, and hope we keep on funding it through fixing stuff and all that.
Thank you, Marcus. Again, that's Marcus Cashler. The question now goes to Cindy Price. And Cindy, with property taxes already high, do you feel that it's possible to cut taxes and still provide students with a quality education?
Yes. Do you want more
Very succinct.
That's a simple question. Yes, there's always things that you can look at in a budget. And yes, property taxes are high in Montgomery County. The school has done a good job of raising theirs, probably the least of any of the taxing entities. So I think that they're really, really looking at that. A lot depends on what the state does also, and need to make sure that the state is fully living up to what they are supposed to do in providing the funding back to the students.
Thank you, Cindy. Again, that's Cindy Price. And now the same question to Jason Barnett. And again, Jason, the question is, with property taxes already high, do you feel that it's possible to cut taxes and still provide students with a quality education?
Well, like they all said, we've lowered the mill levy for the last 3 years, so I guess the answer would be yes, to a certain extent. There's always things that come up. You know, the state funding is 20 mills, and then we add mills to support, you know, the bus program, the lunches, the all sorts of different activities, and also, you know, salaries and things like that. You know, you're always looking for to reduce the costs, to try to fund the school the best it can with what you have. And I think we've done a good job. The school has done a good job of, you know, making a penny last a long time.
Thank you, Jason. Again, that's Jason Barnett. And finally, the question goes to Matt Jordan. And Matt, once again, that question is, with property taxes already high, do you feel that it's possible to cut taxes and still provide students with a quality education?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly possible, and the school district has done a good job of that. And you got to look at, you know, what is the hit from the school on your property taxes? Compared to, you know, what does the college do, what does the city do, and so on and so forth, because the school is just one part of that. But you don't want to reduce it so much that you take away from what the students are getting, because, yes, you could focus, just go bare bones, straight academics, nothing else, and really reduce the property taxes because of that, because you don't need a gym or you don't need a football field, but then it becomes a not so fun place to be, place to come to get educated, which goes back to the last question in finding balance with all of that. So certainly you can reduce it, and the school district has done that. And you know, it's just about finding the balance between reducing taxes, raising taxes, or, you know, what new things or better things can you offer to keep your teachers, to keep students in the district, to make sure that you know, the elementary school, the middle school, the early learning center, the high school are a good place to be, both academically and both on the fun side of things. Because at the end of the day, students want to come to school, and if they're just learning, it's going to become more like a necessity than something they get to do every day.
Thank you, Matt. Again, that is Matt Jordan. Now for our fourth question of the night, our first candidate to be asked will be Cindy Price. And Cindy, the question is, do you feel that it's important to integrate technology into the classroom, and why or why not?
I absolutely think it's important to integrate technology. That's where the world is going. Everything is technology based. And if we don't teach our students, they're going to be behind. I have a perfect example. Today I was taking photos for Thompson Brothers. They're doing their 75th anniversary. And they had their suppliers in, and they had four robotic welding machines. And there were probably 250 kids that were bused in from all around Southeast Kansas, Northeast Oklahoma, to take part in this and get some hands-on. And those kids were so enthralled, and they were loving it. And that teaching them the welding and the trades is important. But I think that we need to do whatever we can on the technology side.
Thank you, Cindy. And again, that's Cindy Price. The question now to Jason Barnett. And again, Jason, the question is, do you feel that it's important to integrate technology into the classroom, and why or why not?
I absolutely agree. Technology is here to stay. I mean, obviously, everything's based on computers, phones. I mean, my story is I went to college and had to take a class to learn how to do Excel. Now, I think Excel comes out when they're in kindergarten or something like that. It's just so much advanced now. And we have a hard time keeping up with the changes and everything. And then, you know, you're talking about balancing budgets and everything else. That's part of trying to balance everything out, to trying to keep up with technology and moving forward and trying to be ahead of everybody else and what they have. So I agree, yeah, it's we need technology in the schools.
Thank you, Jason. Again, that is Jason Barnett. The same question now going to Matt Jordan. And Matt, that question is, do you feel that it's important to integrate technology into the classroom, and why or why not?
Yeah, I'm with the other two, and I assume Marcus will probably be this way as well, but I think it's absolutely important just on several different levels as far as what technology can teach students about potential future careers that they could have, getting a jump on learning the technology. The most recent school board meeting, Griffin Walker with the Boys and Girls Club came, and he had VR goggles with him. And I got a chance after the meeting to sit down and use them, and I went through a cooking tutorial on there about a proper way to cut up potatoes. And he said there's others where you can learn how to weld properly, and how to be an electrician, and how to be a plumber. And so, you know, these are things that you're getting almost real life experience in a virtual setting that I couldn't have even imagined 13 years ago when I was in school. And then you have avenues like with athletics. As I mentioned, I call for the NATO football. Something they've added in my time being here is NATO Live, which is their YouTube channel, which is they run a live stream of all sporting events, which is student ran. So that's an opportunity for students to get to, you know, run a board or run a camera, and to see if that's something they're interested in, or potentially getting the opportunity to do something broadcast related that I would have loved to have gotten the opportunity when I was in high school. So technology is very important. Keeping up with technology is important because it changes quickly, and as soon as you get behind, playing catch up is impossible.
Thank you, Matt. And again, that's Matt Jordan. And finally, the question going to Marcus Kassler. And Marcus, do you feel that it's important to integrate technology into the classroom, and why or why not?
I think technology is great. Although I'm not going to lie when I say that technology can be a double-edged sword sometimes. And it's great until it's not. But my daughter loves broadcasting. She is in a class for broadcasting. She does the shows over there at Phil Kinley, and she loves it, and it's a sport, and it's something that she doesn't have to be involved in sports, that she can be around with friends, and she can interview people around school, and she has came out of her shell. She was once a shy girl, and now she's came out of her shell, and she talks to people more. A lot of our manufacturers, they use technology, robotic arms and stuff. There's room for coding. There's room for lots of different stuff. The CNA courses, I believe, have technology that they use. At the beginning, it's bright. If I want to know how to work a computer or work my cell phone, I'll ask my, you know, my 8-year-old nephew probably knows more about it than I do. But they know some of these kids have technology in their hand, and they know how to use it. They watch videos, and it's great to see them use technology. It's great to see us thrive in technology instead of reject it like some people have. But the one thing I do love app-wise is the parent portal and looking online at my kids' grades and getting notifications and getting cell phone calls. And on snow days, I don't have to read the scroll of the bottom of a TV anymore. It comes directly to us. So I think that's a great step in the right direction for Coffeyville as well.
Thank you, Marcus. Again, that is Marcus Kassler. And next up for the question, the new question will be Jason Barnett. And Jason, our next question of the night is, there's a lot of talk about standardized testing, not just locally, but nationally. How would you navigate the pressure put on standardized testing while still ensuring a well-rounded and inclusive curriculum?
So standardized testing is what's coming from the state and said this is what testing, these are what these students are supposed to learn, by my understanding of it. So that's what we have to teach first and foremost in the classroom. As for well-rounded students, there's various different classes to take. And it's a lot of it's up to the instructors. I mean, you have a base that they have to go off of and test to a certain point, but then, you know, our teachers are really good about, you know, classrooms, not just a classroom. It's a learning opportunity for everybody in there to meet the goals that the state puts forward and to continue developing or helping develop these students into becoming more versatile and well-rounded people.
Thank you, Jason. Again, that is Jason Barnett, and the same question now going to Matt Jordan. And Matt, that question is, how would you navigate the pressure of standardized testing while ensuring a well-rounded and inclusive curriculum?
This is one of those areas where I think I buck the norm, because I am not a fan of standardized testing. As someone who in high school, I was a good test taker, but I had a lot of friends that were not. And when you put the pressure, there were a lot of people that I went to school with that were much better students than I was. But when it came to taking a test, it was too much pressure and they would fail. Whereas I maybe not was prepared, but I'm a good test taker, and so I succeeded at the standardized tests. And so I don't think it's an accurate way to depict what goes on in the classroom. I think we have to figure out a way to show what progress schools are making that is in addition to standardized tests. Don't get rid of them, because they do show, good data. But I think there has to be other avenues that show what schools are doing outside of the standardized tests. And so, as far as being on the school board to do that, it'd just be talking to the legislators, Ron Bryce, Virgil Peck, about what else can we do at the state level to help the teachers not go, okay, standardized tests are in a month, let's throw out all the other stuff we had planned in the classroom, let's focus on teaching this for the standardized test so we can get our points for the state and make it look good, and then we can go back doing what we were normally doing. So I think there needs to be a change to that. What it is, I don't know, but it's something that I want to look for and have that discussion with legislators about how we can make that change.
Thank you, Matt. Again, that is Matt Jordan. The same question now going to Marcus Kassler. And again, Marcus, the question is, how would you navigate the pressure of standardized testing while ensuring a well-rounded and inclusive curriculum?
I 100% agree with Matt. I was a terrible test taker. I still am. I don't retain knowledge that way. And not everybody is cookie cutter. You can't get information out of people and expect this the same way. Every kid is different. For a hyperactive kid, those tests are torture. You have to sit there, you have to take a test, and then another test, and then they go play for a little bit. And it's so strenuous that for certain kids, it's bad. I was that kid. I would rather be looking out of the window daydreaming. And, it started for me in elementary. I remember as a kid, and I hated it. I would fill in the ovals and draw lines to the next one. People, teachers accused me of just making patterns. It's I wish we would spend more time in the classroom teaching things that they also need to learn, like how to do taxes, how to count change back. Little life lessons need to be learned in there as well. And I understand they have a class for that in high school, but it's an elective. I think we need to teach more of that and more find a way to grade how teachers are doing and how we're doing. The teachers are doing the best they can, and they teach what they have, but you can't grade on the lowest kid's score because not all kids learn the same. And as soon as we learn that, the better off we will be as a society.
Thank you, Marcus. Again, that's Marcus Cashler, and now the same question going to Cindy Price. And Cindy, again, that question is, how would you navigate the pressure of standardized testing while still ensuring a well-rounded and inclusive curriculum?
I doubt that there's anybody that likes standardized testing, from the students to the teachers, but it's something that they need to have a measurement. If the school district wants to go away from standardized testing, they'll have to go through the state, as Matt indicated, because that's something that the Kansas School Board has set out. The
Thank you, Cindy. And now the next question coming up will go to Matt Jordan first. And Matt, that question is, if elected to the Board of Education, how would you deal with state-mandated requirements such as the mature minor doctrine, even if you do not personally agree with that particular state law?
There's give and take in everything. I think that if, it just like the previous question with the standardized testing, if they're going to listen to us, the legislators, or the state school board in what we, you know, want to make changes to, then there has to be some give with that as well. But at the end of the day, you can't be teaching something that is not historically accurate or true. But you also can't let certain beliefs get in the way of teaching what did happen or any of that. And so I think it's give and take when it comes to that. If we want changes to be made, then we also have to listen to some of the things that they want from the school districts themselves, because it's give and go with when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Thank you, Matt. Again, that is Matt Jordan. Next, the question goes to Marcus Cashler. And again, Marcus, the question is, if elected to the Board of Education, how would you deal with state-mandated requirements such as the mature minor doctrine, even if you do not personally agree with that state law?
Well, we can all have our agreements, not agreements, but when it comes to education and what not to teach and what to teach, we have to teach history, plain out. There's a lot of things I learned later in life that I had no idea what it was. If I didn't live so close to Tulsa and be on the news, I would have known what Black Wall Street was. I didn't learn later until what Wounded Knee was all about. All those things need to be taught. The segregation movement needs to be taught. It can be taught in books. I went to the library one time, and there was a full comic book on it. But those things need to be taught, because it was a bad part of our history. America's history is not full of rainbows and stuff. Sometimes America made mistakes, and we have to learn from that. The president once said, if we don't learn from the past, we are doomed to repeat it. So we need to be teaching kids exact history, not whitewashed history, not tell them what we think they want to hear, but the stone cold facts, like the Holocaust. I took my daughter to the Holocaust Museum in Kansas City, and she was blown away. They need to know the stark truth, because the stark truth is not happy all the time, but it needs to be taught. I don't know about other items on that, maturity-wise, but like I said, our education needs to be focused on giving them the best education for when they go out and learn. And once they leave for college, they're on their own, and they need to learn what's right, and we can't go past that bubble. So.
Thank you, Marcus. Again, that's Marcus Cashler. And again, the question now going to Cindy Price, and that question, once again, Cindy, is if elected to the Board of Education, how would you deal with state-mandated requirements such as the mature minor doctrine, even if you do not personally agree with that particular state law?
If it's a state statute, that is a law, so you're going to abide. If you don't like what it is, then you need to take that up with the state legislature and see about getting changes made. There's not going to be any way that you can get around that if it is a state statute.
Thank you, Cindy. Again, that's Cindy Price. And finally, the question goes to Jason Barnett. And Jason, the question is, if elected to the Board of Education, how would you deal with state-mandated requirements such as the mature minor doctrine, even if you do not personally agree with that particular state law?
Well, like Cindy said, it is a state law, and you have to abide by that or the school is held responsible for not. So first step you could take is, you know, get with your school legal counsel, find out what the requirements, what minimum or whatever we have to meet to maintain our, you know, maintaining the fact that we are abiding by the law, and then you contact your legislator. If you don't like it, you get people around and say, this is not something I agree with or whatever, but it's on a personal issue too. We have to follow the rules that are set aside by the state and laws and continue on.
Thank you, Jason. Again, that is Jason Barnett. And our last question that we have at this point is will be answered first by Marcus Kassler. And Marcus, the question is, school infrastructure and maintenance is an ongoing issue. How do you prioritize those issues without compromising educational resources?
Well, you know, I think, you know, we had a vote on the infrastructure done twice, and it didn't pass. And I think they did a pretty good job of putting the infrastructure in. It's hard to do because you honestly never know what's going to pop up. 1 year when I was on commission, we had everything was going good, we thought. And then something come up with the Big Hill Splash Park and the slide needed resurface, and we had to look at that. So we had to cut some corners there and make significant. We had to raise a mill levy a little bit that year. It's not something you want to do, but I do applaud some things that have been put in for the instruction. I love the parent drop-off on the junior high. I wish more parents would use it correctly. But I have not been able to go inside and see the new gym. I understand the reasons behind. There are a lot of good things that's going on in the infrastructure. It's hard to do. You obviously have to plan ahead, but like I said, you never really know what comes in store and what may come in better around the bend that you don't know. There's been AC units that need that fix have been broken. There's been stuff like that happens. So you always got to be prepared for what may happen as well.
Thank you, Marcus. Again, that is Marcus Kassler, and the question now goes to Cindy Price. And Cindy, once again, that question is, school infrastructure and maintenance is an ongoing issue. How do you prioritize those issues without compromising educational resources?
The maintenance of the schools of our buildings is of utmost importance. And yes, as Marcus indicated, two bond issues for improvements at the school did fail. However, the school has been very good about, and the school board, funding the improvements that they've made at Field Kinley and at Roosevelt. Those are very needed, but there's so many other things that are needed. They need to work on the electric at the high school. I really would like to see safe rooms put in the high school and Roosevelt. Those were things that I felt were important in the bond issue that didn't pass. So the school district listened to the public and they said, we want to pay for these as we go. So that's what they're doing. It'll probably be more expensive in the long run, but they're still able to come up and take care of the buildings. If you don't take care of them, they won't last.
Thank you, Cindy. Again, that is Cindy Price. Question now goes to Jason Barnett. And Jason, again, that question is, school infrastructure and maintenance is an ongoing issue. How do you prioritize those issues without compromising educational resources?
Well, you don't compromise educational resources. Part of the budget is you're estimating what you're going to be spending on AC systems. You've got, you know, you're talking about a five-year plan, 10-year plan to budget those into the system. And then you, that's part of your capital outlay. The school budget's all broken down, the capital outlay, and I'm not going to name them all, but there's a bunch of different ones. And that's what those dollars go to. You can't pull from, teacher salary to go pay for an AC in a classroom. You can't pull from this budget to pay for something else like that. All that's included in the budget, and that's why your meals are broken up differently throughout. So you don't forfeit it over. And part of what we did is, even though we raised the budget for capital outlay, we also lowered the meals on top of that, but we provided a secure entry to the school, both Roosevelt and the middle school, and also made them more ADA accessible, which is part of the bond election. And we'll continue on, you know, the goal is to continue on with those small improvements without raising the mills on that. So my answer is, you don't really want to lower your educational budget, and you forecast what you're going to spend on all these other AC issue, maintenance issue, plumbing, everything else like that. It's planned and budgeted in.
Thank you, Jason. Again, that is Jason Barnett. And finally, the question goes to Matt Jordan. And Matt, again, that question is, school infrastructure and maintenance is an ongoing issue. How do you prioritize those issues without compromising educational resources?
So as far as financially goes, the school district's never going to take from the resources for education, whether it be teacher salary or laptops, technology, you know, books, whatever it may be, to, you know, pay for a new parking lot or pay for improvements to the gym. That's always going to come from bonds or find other ways to pay for those things. So financially, I don't see that happening. But on a level of, you know, you want to figure out, you know, if you're going to make improvements, you do it during the summer, so you're not interrupting classroom time and being a distraction with kids while they're trying to learn. Younger kids, if they see giant cranes and giant trucks going back and forth out the window, that's going to distract them. So you got to, you know, do that in the off hours or doing that during the summer. And then back to financially, Coffeyville, the district, has a guy in Michael Spear. If you never talked to Mike about money, about numbers, that man is a wizard. If you just sit in a board meeting and listen to him during budget time, go down to the finest decimal point as far as what is going to what parts of the budget. Mike knows what he's doing to make sure that those academic side of things are never interrupted on or impeded on. But improvements are necessary. Roosevelt Middle School and Field Kinley are gorgeous in front. I tell people all the time from back home that you could film movies in front of those schools to use because of how beautiful they are. And then making improvements. I'm someone that wants to see football come back to town. So I'd love to see improvements to the football field, to the track, so you could host events here at ICE on the campus. And so that's something I would like to see down the road.
Thank you, Matt. Again, that is Matt Jordan. And now we will give each candidate time to make a closing statement. And we'll start with Cindy Price. Cindy, how would you like to let people know what you want them to remember about you?
Well, I am going to end with a story. When I started telling people that I was running for school board, I had really mixed reactions. You might be crazy. Why would you want to do that? Somebody said, oh, that's so good. You'll be so good at doing that. The best reaction, however, came from a friend who actually was on the school board for 25 years And she looked at me and she said, "Do you have an agenda?" And I said, "No, that's why I'm running." And she said, "All right then. I have no agenda. I'm simply a public school advocate, and I want to see USD 445 be the best school possible for all of our children. I care about all kids, the school, and the community, and I will commit the time and energy necessary to attend the meetings and whatever else is needed. And I ask for your vote on November 7th. Thank you."
Thank you, Cindy. And now to Jason Barnett, if you'd like to close, Jason.
Thank you. First off, I'd like to thank everybody for being here. I'd like to thank KGGF and the Chamber for putting this on. I also like to thank USD 445, all the admin, the students, the CES, the Earn and Learning Center, PAT, all the programs. My 4 years on the school board has been a learning experience. It's been definitely different than what I thought when I came in there, because I was more about upgrading the schools and the passion and the I tell you what, these instructors, educators do not treat this as a job. This is a passion for them. This is, you know, they go home at night thinking about your kids. They go, you know, to school thinking about your kids. They go everywhere how a kid like Jason Barnett's going to learn how to add. You know, they're trying to figure these things out for us. So I'd like to thank all the instructors and everything, the passion. And I also like to encourage everybody who's listening or anything, if you hear, contact the school if you have questions about what's going on. Don't believe all the rhetoric that the legislators are putting on. Public schools are good. They are providing a solid education for children. And I don't know, thank you.
Thank you, Jason. Again, that is Jason Barnett. And now to Matt Jordan. Matt, if you have a closing statement.
I'd also join Jason in thanking everybody for coming, and those who are watching on Facebook or listening on the radio. You know, this was an opportunity that I put some thought into when I considered running for school board. You know, I went and sat down with Dr. Carell to talk to him about, you know, what are some things I should know, and he asked me the same question that Cindy's friend asked: do you have an agenda? And not a specific agenda, no, because I just care about education from top to bottom, because of what I've seen with my dad being on the school board, my sister being a teacher, you know, not too far removed from being in school myself. Another reason I'm running is, you know, I feel like there should be some, it's good to have diversity on the school board. The school board's got former teachers on it already. They've got parents on the school board, and there are people that are parents running. Obviously, I think it's good. You know, Cindy comes with a lot of experience from the city, so that's an aspect. And then for me personally, you know, I'm not from here. I'm the youngest of the candidates, and would be the youngest if I'm elected on the board. I think I bring an interesting perspective as being, you know, the closest to just of attending school as far as what students want to see from school. But I love the community of Coffeyville. I love the school district, all the different avenues I've got to spend with them. And so that's why I chose to do this. And if there was a question that didn't get asked today that you're curious about my answer to, if you have something you want to talk to me about, you can grab me when this is done. I'll answer questions. If you just want to talk, say hello. I'm a talkative guy. I'm friendly. I got 2 minutes, right, Candy? I'm trying not to go too long here. But or if you think of something after this, you know someone that has a question, reach out to me on Facebook. You can call the radio station, ask for me. I'm open. I'll answer anything. I'll talk about anything. So, but yeah, again, thanks again for coming, and thanks for those who are watching and listening.
Thank you, Matt. Again, that is Matt Jordan. And finally tonight, a closing statement, Marcus Kassler. Marcus?
So I'd like to again thank everybody for coming out and doing this. I hope more people listen to this and on Facebook and are listening on the radio. I want to be an advocate for everybody. I want these parents who are disenfranchised, who have came to me and heard their voice. I want them to have an advocate, but I want them most sorely to come out and vote. We have a voting problem in this town, whether we like it or not. About 10% of people vote who can vote. I want to be an advocate for them. We have to have advocates in there for the kids, for the parents, and for the teachers. Those without teachers, we wouldn't have a school. I'm a big fan of public education because education is a foundation. And we need to be guided in the right direction, whether they choose Votex, which there's nothing wrong with Votex. There is college if you want to go choose that. But it is our job as a school board, as parents, as teachers, to gear them and get them ready for that. If, like I said, I love public education. I'm not a super fan of Vanguard schools and private education because I want qualified teachers teaching the kids, and I think it's important to do so, to know that they're going to get the right education, and not just education that they think they need to put out there. It behooves us to have the voice, and I want to provide a new voice. I have no problems with the people on the board right now, but like I said in the beginning, we have a chance to get all new people on there and to get new voices on them. So. It is that time. If you're ready for that, I would love you to talk to me. I'm open. I was on a commission. I open to talk to people. I have a wild story about people hunting me down and trying to find me and talk to me and interrupt meetings that I've held with other people. So I'm open to it. I'm a voice. My ears are always open. My emails will always be open, and I will try my best to communicate. That's one great thing about me is I'm a communicator. My wife thinks too much. I communicate too much sometimes, but I'm there for you. I'm a listener. This isn't a popular thing to do. Like she said, I had people question me when I ran for commission. Someone asked me, why are you doing this? And please don't do this. You're not a public eye person, but someone has to be there to step up, and someone has to be the voice for the public. And I would love to be that. So please go out and vote. Don't just say you're going to vote. Do research on us, please, and vote for the right person, and vote for what's on your heart.
Thank you, Marcus. Again, that is Marcus Cashler. I would like to thank all of the candidates for appearing here tonight and for their commitment to get involved in public service, including two candidates that were unable to attend this evening, Lakeisha Johnson with a previous commitment, and Jessica Herring, who suddenly became sick, so we're glad she's not spreading whatever she has among us this evening, but you'll find those two names on the ballot as well. I urge everyone to get out and vote on November the 7th. I also want to thank everyone who attended in person tonight here at the Windsor Event Center, those that listened on the radio or online or on the Facebook page. I'd like to thank Candy Westbrook with the Coffeeville Chamber for partnering with the radio station to put on tonight's forum. So, again, on behalf of KGGF, the Coffeeville Chamber of Commerce, and our broadcast partner tonight, Windsor at Home Care, we bid you good night from the Windsor Event Center.
If you could use a little help around the house, Windsor Place At Home Care is the perfect solution for you. Their caregivers are prepared to help you with laundry, meals, housekeeping, shopping, and more. These helpful services are so reasonably priced, you can afford to pay for them yourself. In many cases, long-term care insurance or other sources provide assistance with the cost. Home is where the help is. Call Windsor Place At Home Care, 800-982-1866.
Office of the Inspector General says a responder at the National Veterans Crisis Line mismanaged a 2021 text exchange with a veteran in San Antonio who died by suicide shortly after reaching out. Determining after an investigation, the responder inadequately assessed the 31-year-old as being high risk for self-harm and history of post-traumatic stress disorder. also alleging staff failed to notify the VA about the death and didn't properly document the exchange. The crisis line has helped a record number of veterans with over 750,000 calls since July of last year.
Fox's Kristen Goodwin. A report out says the maker of a popular diabetes medication failed to properly investigate bacterial contamination earlier this year.
A newly released government inspection report says bacterial controls were deficient at a Clayton, North Carolina Novo Nordisk plant, which turns out some of its best-selling drugs. According to the Wall Street Journal, reports say between February and June, several strains of bacteria showed up in batches of key diabetes medication ingredient, semaglutide, that's the main component for Rybelsus, as well as diabetes and weight loss drugs Ozempic and Wegovy, though the company says semaglutide for those products isn't made at the same plant. The FDA says it currently isn't aware of ongoing compliance issues by the company, which was not able to find the cause of some of that bacteria. Lillian Wu, Fox News.
A tropical storm warning issued from coastal North Carolina to Delaware ahead of a potential tropical cyclone that's approaching the East Coast. The National Hurricane Center announced potential tropical cyclone 16 this morning. Forecasters say it'll bring some tropical storm force winds and storm surge, along with the high winds to the East Coast throughout the weekend. I'm Lee Silasera. This is Fox News.
Roman Chevrolet, your Silverado City appreciates our area educators. Right now, Romans and Independents are offering $500 cash bonus to all educators. Romans deeply appreciates your service to the community. Reap the rewards at Roman Chevrolet, 2313 West Main in Independence.
It's been a breezy, warm day across the area, and as we go on into tonight, we're looking for a good chance of showers and thunderstorms developing across the area. A few of those could be locally heavy with gusty winds, even some hail associated with them. Overnight low will be dropping off to around 63. Showers and thunderstorms will be diminishing in the morning hours, then becoming partly sunny in the afternoon. Look for a high in the upper 70s. Winds out of the southeast at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Kind of a big warm-up expected for Saturday. We'll have morning lows around 65, afternoon high in the upper 80s, and then a good chance of scattered thunderstorms late in the afternoon and the evening. Some of those could be severe.
Come in and shop the best selection of Hey Dude shoes anywhere within 100 miles. We sell over 7,000 pair a year.